This is Pulse 95. You're listening to the Morning Majlis podcast.
Join the conversation with the Morning Majlis. Pulse 95.
Yeah, join in on the conversation. I want to ask anyone out there, have you had the privilege of being down at Expo Centre Sharjah? Being down at the Sharjah Children's Reading Festival? Because if you have, I want to hear from you. 4215, how was your experience? What stood out for you? Was it probably the cookery corner? Was it one of the ongoing plays? Was it possibly a panel discussion that you sat in and really learnt a lot from? For me, it was the buzz around the place, just seeing children having so much fun when it came to the world of reading, when it came to the world of literature. It truly kind of gave me a lot of hope for the future that the world of reading is definitely not going away. And what I really liked, I brought up just a touch earlier, was the diversity of it all. You know, you didn't have to love reading. You didn't have to know so many books to really get involved at the Sharjah Children's Reading Festival. Mm-hmm. There was so much on offer, and it was incredibly diverse, incredibly informative, and also not just catered to children, you know. Yeah. A conversation we're going to be bringing on air in just a little while is with Dr. Caroline Leaf, and it is on a touchy subject, a mature subject, you could say, and that is mental health. And I actually had a lot of conversations with a lot of authors about mental health over at the Sharjah Children's Reading Festival and why reading is so important. And the aspect that they gave me was that reading, especially when you're in your early teens and as a child, really, it acts as a form of escapism. And that is what it is. They're able to escape from their reality and kind of dive into this brand new world, whatever it is, in the pages in their book. And I think that's why the world of reading will definitely never go away.
And you have to start early, of course. Taking care of mental health from an early age is very, very important, because when we think of mental health, we're always thinking about working adults and individuals who have a very busy schedule and very stressful life, and that's really not it. You have to take care of the mental health of your children, because it's like the seed, and you're watering that seed early on in order for you to see results, of course. So I think that's what it is. But looking back at the Sharjah Children's Reading Festival, it's not just a book haven. There are so many workshops that cater to every single age and every single interest, from coding and science to arts to dance, even as you mentioned, Louis Cookery Corner. There's an adventure waiting around every single corner, such as furniture making and car making workshops. There are also many fashion shows to inspire the young ones to design, to sew, to display their creativity on the runway. So there's so many reasons why you should be taking your young ones to the Sharjah Children's Reading Festival.
Yeah, and going back to the conversation with Caroline Leaf that we had, she's written a book called Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. And now another book that she's recently published, in fact, in August 2023, is How to Help Your Child Clean Up Their Mental Mess, A Guide to Building Resilience and Managing Mental Health. And she says that anxiety, depression and mental health struggles are increasingly present in children. And this, as a neuroscientist, she shares a clear and effective 5-plan step to teach your child how to manage their mind so they can live a life without worry. So my big question to her during the panel discussion that we were both part of was, why do you call anxiety and depression not a disease? And she had very, very strong points to share with our listeners during that particular panel. And this is the conversation that we had on the sidelines with Dr. Caroline Leaf.
Dr. Caroline Leaf, thank you very much for joining us. I know we had a very in-depth interview during a live broadcast, but thank you for joining the Morning Majlis show. If you can talk to us a little bit about, firstly, let's start off by, why did you get into this? And there's these 30 years of research and constant work towards mental health. What drove you towards this?
Just the concern about how mental health is on the rise, but it's the way it's been managed is making it worse and not better. So it's actually nearly 40 years now that I've been practicing clinically and in doing research to help people to understand, empower people to be able to manage their own mind, because if you manage your mind, which is different from the brain, then you can improve brain and body health. So it's a whole network, mind, brain, body. And that fascinated. I've researched how that network works and how life becomes part of you and how it shows up and how you can actually look at how you show up and reverse engineer that and manage your... Basically, you can't change what's happened to you, but you can change what it looks like inside of you and therefore how it plays out into your future.
And you mentioned a little bit about that, you know, pretty much everyone is battling something. Now, it's all about having that separation of mind and body and understanding the whole network. So if you could break it down for our listeners to understand, how does it all work, and where can we sort of look for our problem-solving skills here?
Absolutely. Well, problem-solving is really part of it. We need to embrace, process, and reconceptualize. The current model for mental health is suppression. It's basically identify the symptom and then get rid of the symptom. Now, that works beautifully for if you've got a cardiovascular issue or a heart issue or a, you know, some kind of physical disease, it works beautifully for that. But when it comes to mental health is how we experience life. So we all have huge stories. And if you just stick a label on and diagnose it, which is not actually scientific, it's very non-scientific, you limit the person's ability to heal, increase stigma, and make them worse. And that's what the research is showing. So what we want to do is, what I've done is try to work on understanding how life's experiences become part of you. Mm-hmm. So we having this conversation and being able to talk and understand, that's your mind. Your mind is doing all that mental work. It's an energy force like gravitational fields and electromagnetic light forces. I know it sounds kind of hard to understand, but when someone's dead, that force goes. Mm. So it's the mental, the mind is this mental part of us that helps us to understand a conversation, fall in love, get sad, get happy, and every experience we have, your mind takes that and then builds it into the mind as a field, into the brain as a tree-like structure made of proteins, and in every cell of the body as a little hedge-like structure. So in other words, the life becomes part of our mind-brain-body network, and then those are the thoughts with all their detailed memories that drive us. Mm-hmm. So if we have a toxic experience, like an extreme trauma of some sort, that becomes part of you, and because it's such a dramatic thing, it will drive how you function. So an abuse, for example, maybe sexual abuse, can then influence relationships and influence how you your self-esteem and how you value yourself. Then we have the less dramatic things like just bad habits, being on social media too much or getting irritated quickly or something like that. Those are also toxic, also wire into the mind, brain, and body as an unhealthy-looking tree, unhealthy-looking hedges, rain clouds, whatever in your mind. And that also over time weakens the mind, brain, body network and drives us, can increase our vulnerability to disease. So traumas unmanaged, habits unmanaged, increase our vulnerability to mental health issues and physical diseases over time. They accumulate. Also, there's day-to-day stuff. You know, we're in traffic, or you have a little argument with a spouse, or a friend argues with you. We need to know how to manage those too. So your mind drives everything about who you are, and if we don't manage our mind, then the whole network suffers. Yeah. So the whole point is to help people from as young as possible, no matter what your age, because we've all got minds. We're all battling. We're all a mess. It's okay to be a mess. That's just who we are as humans, but we need to manage our mess, and that's basically what I've been helping people do.
Yeah. And I like the new book as well, which released a couple of months ago, just under a year now. Your mental mess, cleaning up your mental mess. Now, this one that you've got specifically for children, and I like when we were off air, you said that we need to understand that mental health is not a disease, but more something that we can control. And sort of, so why do you think it shouldn't be considered a disease, and what are the other solutions that you propose?
Such a good question. So we need to always follow scientific evidence, and the idea that mental health is a disease was never actually a proven scientific fact. It became a way of explaining the hard things of life, and unfortunately led to medicalizing misery or pathologizing childhood, and that over time, now over the last 40 years that's been happening, has increased the mental health problem. It's a huge contributing factor. So if someone has, for example, diabetes, then there's a way of that's you can diagnose, which means that there is an underlying biological cause, something wrong with the pancreas, and we can do tests and you can target specific medications or treatments. When it comes to someone who's gone through an abuse, who's been bullied at school, who's been bullied in the workplace, or has something wrong with a relationship, or has a huge trauma in their life, or the things that we go through as a human, those aren't causes in the brain. They're not diseases in the brain or the body. They're not chemical imbalances. They will cause changes in the brain because of every experience we have changes the mind and the brain, because it changes the mind, brain, and body, because they're all plastic. They keep changing with experience. But they're not symptoms of a disease. They are signals that something's going on in your life. So instead of saying, oh, anxiety is a symptom of a disease, I have something wrong with my brain, if you're already in a traumatic situation, to be told that you also have a brain disease makes it worse. But if you tell that person, hey, this is not who you are, these are signals of how you are showing up in life because of something. There's a story behind this. Let's do the work to look at the signals, find the story, deconstruct that, reconstruct that. You know, you can't change what's happened to you, but you can change what it looks like inside your mind-brain-body network and therefore how it plays out into the future. Now, that's the accurate science. That's been proven over years. And my team and myself, plus a lot of our colleagues, and for over quite a few years, that when we process and think deeply and think critically and embrace and reconceptualize, which is look at it in different ways, then you're going to change how it plays out into the future. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of just, it's like flying a plane. Mm-hmm. You can't just prepare the plane and do nothing else. You can't just talk about your feelings. You can't just suppress it. You've actually got to prepare the plane, take off, fly, and land. It's a whole cycle. Embrace, mm-hmm. process, and reconceptualize, and in that way, we can change how we function.
It's pretty much like engineering, isn't it? And now we also talked about the expressions, you know, how we should be able to express ourselves. And you've used the character Brainy, and you've brought the model as well with you here at the SCRF. Can you talk to us a little bit about the importance of using that character and helping parents understand what the children are going through, and for children to ideally use that as a way to express themselves?
Absolutely. So in our current model, if a child has a behavioral problem or they're being emotional, very often what's happening is they'll be labeled with a diagnosed and labeled. And that's, as I said, not scientific, and it's very limiting. And then the child then sees themselves and gets locked into that. So what we are as humans, our whole mind, brain, body network, three different things, mind being the energy force, brain being the physical, and the body being the physical. We aren't designed for just bite-sized bits of information. We aren't designed, or structured, design's not the right word, structured, the network to just suppress or label. We are very deep thinking. Humans are very deep thinking, so we need to be able to process and find what's going on. So with children, we can model that. So children as young as 2, 3, and 4, you can start this process. So if a child, you pick them up from school and they're upset and they're throwing a tantrum, instead of just thinking, yeah, it could just be that they're just tired, but there could also be something going on. And if it's a pattern, then you can actually sit with the child and help them. So the best way to help a child is for a parent to model it. So that I've developed a system called the NeuroCycle, which is how you can observe yourself and do this embrace process, deconstruction, reconstruction, rewiring thing. Mm-hmm. You can, as if you having a bad day, you model this for the child, then the child can model it for themselves. So to make this easier, can apply it for themselves. I created a character called Brainy who walks the mental health journey with you. So if a child is nonverbal or that children up to 12 really battle to express, you know, they may tell you how they feel, but you can't just focus on feelings because that will bring things up and then make them worse. So to get a child to be able to express themselves, Brainy becomes the mental health journey, and they can pick up Brainy, and that's already an indication to the parent. The fact that they've picked up the toy is that you open the door to communication. And then a young child can, they don't know how to verbalize if someone's bullying them or something, but they'll enact it. A child will be able to demonstrate. So then they'll often get toys, maybe Brainy with another toy, or they'll demonstrate what's happening. So it's a great way for a parent to see, for a child to be able to express what they're going through. Then the parent can work through, how are you feeling? Where do you feel that in your body? Let's talk about why. And you can then take them through a five-step process to help them to deconstruct. What happens a lot is that parents will say, how do you feel? Or they'll get labeled. And that's like going to an airport and just preparing the plane and not going anywhere. It kind of makes them worse. If you take the plane takes off, but the pilot doesn't know how to fly, it'll crash the plane. Mm. So with children, if we just tell them to, you know, breathe, or you just tell them to how you feel, that's kind of just the plane just being prepared and taking off, and then they crash. We have to do the whole take them all the way through. You feel like this, where it is in your body, why, what's the pattern, how can we look at that differently, what's an action we can take, which is prepare the plane, take off, fly, and land. It's the whole cycle. And Brainy is a great way of demonstrating that and helping the child to learn how to do that.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Lastly, if people would like to, you know, get in touch with you, follow your work, you've also got an app as well to help people understand the message that you're trying to put across. So where can they reach out to you, and what can they access?
Thank you. My Instagram handle is Dr. Caroline Leaf, and from there you can get to everything, my webpage and the books, and there's lots of books. And the app is called NeuroCycle, and there's a section, it's geared for adolescents and adults, but there is a section for parents to help their children in there. That's available on iTunes, Google Play, and there's a web version.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This is Pulse 95. Tune in live every weekday from 7 a.m.